Today's shiur will be beginning the lower part of Daf Kuf Omid Beis in Maseches Bava Basra. Before we begin the shiur, we recommend your printing out the Daf, and even better, ordering your version, your own personal edition of the pre-marked Gemara Shas Ozer Bava Basra. In our pre-marked Gemara edition, as you'll notice on the screen, there appears on the outside margin topic headings and, when necessary, notes concerning the structure. Topic headings we entitle Nose, and structural notes we entitle Mivneh. At this point, we can glance at the outside margin and we see something labeled Nose Klali. Ad Kuf Beis Omid Beis. That means that until Kuf Beis Omid Beis will be involved with the subject of Kvoros, of burial and grave sites. The immediate topic is entitled Nose, Midois Shel Maorois Kvura. The dimensions that pertain to caves in which people were buried, sometimes referred to as crypts. The method of burial, which one can find in archaeological sites, were entrance to a cave, and in the wall, or in the walls of the cave, there were dug out holes in which a body would be inserted. In the Jewish way, would be have them inserted in a reclining, in a lying fashion, as opposed to a vertical burial or a seated position. The Mishnah begins, Hamocher mokoim lechavero lasois loy kever. If someone is selling an area for the purpose of a grave, and likewise, a contractor that accepts upon himself the job of building a crypt, oise toicho shel maora dalid amois al sheish. If we glance at the Pirush Chai, this is a book of illustrations that we've been using throughout the study of Maseches Bava Basra. One can glance at illustration 703 in the Pirush Chai, authored by Rav Chaim Porush. And there is an illustration of the interior of the space, cave, if you will. And it features the graves that are dug into the walls, three sides. The fourth side being open for serving the entrance to the grave, to the crypt. So the statistic we saw in the Mishnah is that the interior of the grave, of the cave, measures 4 amas wide, 6 amas long. Uposeach l'seicha shmoina kuchim. As a result of these dimensions, he'll have room for preparing 8 kuchin, the crypts in which the body was inserted. Shalosh mikan, v'shalosh mikan, 3 on each wall that serves as the length, ushnayim mikenegdon, and 2 graves in the wall opposite the entrance, the width. The kuchin, the space for the body itself, known here as the kuch, orkon arba amos, the length, in other words, this is a length that would contain the body, and a little extra, for arba amos, the rumon, sheva, and the height of the grave would be 7 tvochim, the rochvon, shisha, and the width of each grave, 6 tfachim. 6 tfachim is often understood as an amma, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon appears in the Mishnah with a different dimension for this setup. So as we continue in the Mishnah at the top of Kuf Aleph Omer Aleph, Rabbi Shimon Omer Oisa Toicha Shel Me'ora. The size of the cave is Sheish Amos Al Shmoina, 6 Amos wide, 8 Amos in length. Uposach L'Soicha, and as a result of the added space, his amount of graves is as follows. Shloisha Asor Kuch, 13 Kuchim, those are the holes in which the body would be inserted. Arba'a Mikan, V'arba'a Mikan, 4 Kuchim in each wall of length. Shloisha Mikenegdon, and 3 in the facing wall. With that, we would see, we saw 4 and 4 is 8, plus 3 is 11, but he said there are 13. V'echod miyamin ha-pesach, v'echod min ha-smoil. The point just mentioned in the Mishnah, one to the right of the entrance and one to the left, will be spoken about in the Gemara. V'oise chotzer al-pi ha-ma'ora, sheish al-sheish. And at the entrance to these caves, there is an open area called a chotzer, measuring 6 by 6 amas. And the reason for that amount is kemoloi hamito v'kivreha. So you can see we've used a phrase marking to serve notice that one should read the three words together, as we did. Kemolo hamito v'kivreha. This is a room, this is a space enough for the people carrying the body, the coffin, if you will, the mita. The mita is the stretcher on which the body is placed, and those accompanying it that will be burying it. Uposeach l'soicha shtei me'oros, achas mikan v'achas mikan. This is the Tanakama's opinion, and that opening onto this chotzer that we just mentioned, there will be 2 caves with the dimensions that were featured in the earlier part of the Mishnah, 2 caves. And now we see Rabbi Shimon appears. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he disagrees. He says, Arba, 4 caves that will open into this chotzer. La'arba ruchoiseha, the 4 caves open in the 4 directions, 4 sides of the chotzer. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Hakol Lefi Hasela. His approach to the dimensions of the cave walls and the burial vaults is different in the sense that he doesn't assign specific numbers, but he says it depends on the quality of the soil, of the ground, namely if it's stone type ground where the space between each body vault would be made of a wall of stone, so the amount between each body vault would not be great. You can get away with a small amount, because what we're trying to avoid is a situation where the bodies would be buried together, so to speak, because of the wall between them crumbling. So we want to make sure that the wall between each body is solid. The Rashbam appears underneath the diagrams that are on the page. He says, Akol lefi hasela, akuchin koi. His comment refers to, as we mentioned, the body vaults. She'im akarka chazak, ein tzor hefresh amo bein kuch lekuch, lekoiso. If the wall between the body vaults would be made of stone, so you don't need a full amo, as the opinions we saw already had required between each space. And as a result of that, since you have more room to work with, namely you're saving on the amount of wall space, the oisoyosim yud gimel kuchen, you have the ability of making more than 13 vaults if you have a stone ground consistency. And on the other hand, vim sela habo biyodayim, if it's crumbly soil, yarchik yoser me amo ze mize velo yase yoser me dalad ohe kuchen b'mora. And then you'll be limited in the number of vaults that you'll be able to make per cave. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Before we begin the Gemara text itself, let us take advantage of the topic heading, the nosei. Eifo b'diyuk koivrim shnei hamesim aliba d'Rabbi Shimon dekotoni echod mimin ha-pesach v'echod min ha-smol. Where exactly are the two bodies that Rabbi Shimon spoke about, one to the right and one to the left of the entranceway? What does that mean? Where are they located? To clarify this, Gemara poses a question, and you'll notice in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, a kuf encircled with a dashed vertical line lasting four lines. This indicates that all of these lines of Gemara are subject of to clarify the question, to present the question. In addition to that, let us also take advantage of illustration 714. 714. Let's now, once the illustration is available, we continue with the Gemara. Hani trei lehecha shodi lehu. The two. Notice we have a little arrow in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos, namely to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This indicates, try to find a parallel arrow on the page, and as you scan up, you'll notice that it points to the line where you see the expression v'echod yamin ha-pesach v'echod min ha-smol, and the Gemara here is asking about that. The two body spaces that Rabbi Shimon made reference to, one to the right of the entrance and one to the left, where are they placed? E liberoi. If they are to the outside of the entrance to the cave, and that's what one sees in illustration 714, one sees a live person, standing in the chotzer. This is a cutaway diagram, a cross section, and you would have the cave labeled Me'ora, and if we suggest that the body that's placed to the right or to the left of the entrance is basically inserted underneath the entrance side, then you'll have a problem. The first problem is ha ka misdashi luhu. It's walked upon, it's trampled upon, and we don't assume that when people are buried that the spot in which they're buried is walked upon, is trampled on. Vesu, and a second objection to this suggestion is ha-tanan, there's a Tanaic source that teaches the following. I know by looking at my daf that we have a Tanaic source because it appears in a frame. In our marking system, we frame off all texts that are of Tanaic origin, whether they be Mishnayos or Brises or the restatement thereof, in order to set it off from the rest of the Gemara text. Here we have a Tanaic source that says, Chotzer HaKever Ha'oimed B'Soichoi Tohar, that one who is standing in the area labeled as Chotzer HaKever, which was featured in the Mishnah as well, in our Mishnah, one who stands there is still ritually pure, namely he hasn't become Tomei. And if, as suggested a line before, that maybe they're buried underneath the Chotzer HaKever at the entrance to the Me'orah, then we couldn't say that one who's standing in the Chotzer remains Tahar because he's standing above what would be a mace. Omar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, the Ovid Lehu Kemin Neger. We can look at pictures 717 and 718. A neger is a door bolt. That's what is featured in 717. And in 718, you have an aerial view of the chotzer and the ma'ora, and the two bodies are placed in the dark squares that are indicated in the diagram in a neger position, namely in a vertical position. They're inserted downwards. The Rashbam at the bottom of the Omid says, "De'ovid lo kemin neger manul shel pesach zakuf shiareid milamava lamata." A door bolt that appears in a vertical position. Kain also shnei kuchin mishnei tzidei hapesach. Likewise, the suggestion would be two vaults that are on either side of the entranceway. Kemin bor amukim dalet amos ruchavin vov al vov. It would be dug out as a pit with the depth of 4 amas and a width of 6 by 6 tfochim. Venosan hamesim zkufim ubesamach lekoisel lachotzer asaan, and they would be buried in a standing position and be buried close to the wall. Demishum ahu purto lo mistashi. As far as the fear of bodies being trampled, there were spaces under over which bodies are positioned, that we didn't want to have people walking there. That would not be a problem here. Why? She'ein miskarven kol kach achorei ha-pesach. People don't brush up along the walls in such a close fashion as would be over here. Therefore, as far as the objection of mistashi, of being trampled, that wouldn't be a problem here. The Gemara, though, asks, how can you suggest this vertical burial? Ve'omar Rabbi Yochanan kvuras chamurim hizu. That's the way donkeys are buried, where they just throw them into a pit. In other words, it's not honorable for a mace, for the deceased to be buried that way. Okay, if that's Rabbi Yochanan's objection, so how does Rabbi Yochanan explain the Mishnah? The Rabbi Yochanan, the Avdi, the Ovid Lehu, Bekeren Zavis. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the two bodies can be buried in the corner. In other words, if you have the cave, you enter the cave, there's a facing wall. In the facing wall, you have the corners of the opposite wall, the corners at which point the opposite wall and the side walls join. One would focus on the corner literally, which would be a diagonal. In other words, you would dig a hole into the corner in a diagonal and insert the body that way. The Gemara in the printed edition that appears on your screen and in every standard Shas version presents a diagram that might help. It's labeled in the Rashbam the Aleph diagram, and you have to view this as an aerial view, an aerial cutaway view of the cave. And you can see two diagonal graves that we just termed Keren Zavis. The Gemara asks, though, after processing the statistics that we're not going to preoccupy ourselves with at this point, but the problem arises, v'ha nagi kuchin lahadodi. Assuming, as we've done, that the vaults themselves, each one has an amma of width, and the space between the vault on the in the facing wall next to the wall of length, the body vault that's immediately adjacent to that corner itself has a dimension of an amma in width, leaving a half an amma between it and the wall itself. If you take that into consideration, and the same thing would be the same as the perpendicular vault that's found next to the corner on the side wall, you'll end up digging out a space in which the diagonal body will in effect be sharing the same space for a certain amount of the vault length with those two existing vaults. That's what's objected to here when the Gemara says there, the kuchen are going to be touching each other. In other words, there isn't enough wall material left if you dig this way. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Ashi bin Ma'amik. This is solved by simply changing the height at which that particular diagonal vault is dug. In other words, if the two existing perpendicular vaults are at a particular height, because the cave had enough height in it for a person to walk in erect, so all one would have to do is dig the diagonal vault in the corner at a lower level than the existing perpendicular vaults, and it would have its own surrounding cave material in which to dig without interfering with the existing perpendicular vaults. And the Gemara is happy with this answer, with this ma'amik answer to explain the two corner vaults, the e lo tema hachi. If you don't accept this, there's another problem that we would have to confront. Arba me'oros l'Rebbe Shimon, hechi ovid lehu. The four caves that open to the chotzer in Rebbe Shimon's scenario, how could you possibly have four me'oros opening into one chotzer and accounting for all of the graves that are going to be dug? Ha'konagi kuchin lahadadi. If you don't accept the ma'amik idea, the idea of digging out vaults at varying height levels, you're going to have the same problem of the kuchin encroaching one on the other. This is illustrated wonderfully in the diagram found on Omid Aleph. If you have a Gemara, you would flip back to the first Omid, and if you're dealing with your screen, scroll back to Omid Aleph, and you'll notice what appears to be an elaborate diagram in the Rashbam, and you see graves or vaults that are overlapping one another immediately at the entrance to each me'ora. When you're walking in from the chotzer, to your immediate left and right, you would notice vaults that are overlapping, as is illustrated. And that certainly can't be allowed. How would one solve that? The answer is quite simple, that even though they appear in the diagram, because we're looking at it from an aerial viewpoint, they would be dug at different heights, and hence you wouldn't have the problem of one vault encroaching on the other. So the Gemara summarizes, Elo b'ma'amik, hacha nami b'ma'amik. Just like in the case of the four me'oros, we have to adopt the ma'amik solution, so too, hacha nami, so too, regarding the two extra, or the two from numbers 12 and 13 that Rabbi Shimon had in his scenario, those two extra graves, Yamin HaPesach Umismolo, those two also would be dug B'keren Zavis, as we answered earlier, in the corner, in the facing wall corner, and they would be dug at a different height than the other two perpendicular graves that are already there. We have encountered just now some geometric forms that we should take note of, and we do this by glancing at the outside margin. We have combined a topic heading with a structural note, the Nose and Mivne. The triangles represent Gimel Drachim, three approaches, Surot, three forms, Lahazbir, Dalid Me'orois de Rabbi Shimon, Betsura Shelo Yigu Kuchin Ze Boze. We started this already because we introduced it as answer number one. These are several approaches to explain the four me'oros that Rabbi Shimon accounts for. Chelek mehezverim elu hamesumonim with this other form, this other geometric form, meshamshin gam lahazbir mikumam shel beis hakuchim b'masnisin dekotoni echad miyamin ha-pesach ve-echad mismol. We're in effect explaining two things at once. So in order to do that, we've used this other geometric form, maybe we call it a crown form. It serves to highlight the additional answers to explain the issue of miyamin ha-pesach u-mismol. Continuing in the Gemara, we now see a number two, because as was mentioned, we have several approaches to explain the four-cave setup, constantly bearing in mind that we're trying to avoid a situation where vaults encroach one on the other. Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua will take the approach that you don't have to say ma'amik, but rather something else. He's going to give a new shape, and we'll be able to see this in the Gemara's illustrations that are featured on the page itself. We will be looking at the third of the illustrations found in the Rashbam commentary, the Gimel illustration, to appreciate what is about to be said. So Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua says, you don't have to say vary the heights at which the vaults are dug out of the walls. So Omar, he says, Arba me'oros le'Rebbe Shimon, de'ovid lehu ki charusa. Charusa is a palm branch. If one is familiar with the leaves, if you will, that are on a palm branch, they grow from the main section of the branch. In the case of a lulav, for example, it's referred to as the spine, and they grow coming out of the spine at an angle. So if you have imagery, if you have the power to imagine things, just imagine the graves being dug into the wall of the ma'oros at an angle. And that's what's illustrated in the Gemara illustration. If one accepts this, so we avoid the problem of grave overlapping. As far as a palm branch is concerned, for those who are not from subtropical areas and don't have palms growing in their vicinity, a picture in the Pirush Chai is offered, 733. As we continue in the Gemara, we're going to have to make a major assumption. And that major assumption is one involving some geometry. The Pirush Chai offers that in illustration 735. Before we continue with the preoccupation with the illustrations, we'll just read a little bit in the Gemara and then return to the illustrations. After the suggestion of digging the graves at an angle, the Gemara says, V'ha de Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua Barusa Hi. His suggestion is unacceptable. Barusa literally means outside. Means would be outside the realm of acceptability. Notice in the space between the Gemara text and the Rashbam, immediately to the left-hand side, there's an encircled Dalid indicating Dechia, rejection, with a vertical dashed line, similar to the other long markings, that indicates all of these lines are dedicated to rejecting the Charusa suggestion to account for the Rabbi Shimon four-cave construction. Now, the question is, why is this an unacceptable suggestion? So its unacceptability is based on some geometry and accepting a certain major assumption that the Gemara keeps to. And it's as follows.
When you're looking at the Me'oras, those of you who have the Pirush Chai can see this easily in illustration 735. There, if you don't have that available, then you can still see this in the Gemara text illustration. The Me'oras themselves are hollowed, they're caves, and they have side walls. And into the side walls, we dig vaults, and all of this is underground. One has to assume or imagine a square formed by adding two more sides to the existing sides that the Me'oras create. Each Me'ora has a wall, a length to it, and there is those lengths will constitute two sides of a square. Then imagine two more sides to complete the square. That's illustrated. The dimensions of that square, if you're assuming the Reb Shimon construction, has a wall of 8 amos long, so the square would be a square measuring 8 by 8. The diagonal of that, using Gemara geometry, which says that for every 1 amma of side, you have 1 2/5 amas of diagonal. So if you take 8 as a side, you do 8 times 1 2/5, you'll get to 11 1/5 amas. So we can say that the square formed by the two side walls of the Mora has a diagonal of 11 1/5 amas. When one sells an area for the construction of graves, he is selling following Reb Shimon, the 4 Me'oras, the ability to dig out 4 Me'oras, plus the space formed by the sides of those Me'oras, the squares formed as well. And that's all the contractor has to work with in digging graves. That being assumed, and in fact, that information is found in the Rabbeinu Gershom as well, and we've noted that on the inside section of the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary, the lower part of the narrow lines. We'll just read what we've noticed, what we've highlighted there. Umi shemochar hachotzer v'hama'orois lasois kuchen, one who sold a plot of ground for the construction of this burial setup, eino roitze shiyetsu chutz min ho'alachsoin Legamri, klal uklal. He doesn't want the bodies to extend beyond that diagonal, that imaginary diagonal. This you can see in the Gemara illustration that's provided in your standard Daf Gemara that you have on your screen. You'll notice that toward the outer limits of the Me'ora, those bodies, if you do bury them in the diagonal fashion, they are extending beyond the acceptable diagonal, and some of them are, as you can see, they're protruding beyond that imagined square. With all that having been said, and there in fact is more to be said on the topic, but we're not going to preoccupy ourselves with that in the context of our shiur, this constitutes the grounds for saying that Rav Huna Breider of Yeshua's suggestion is barusa. Let us now read this inside. Michti, let's look into it. Kol amsa beribua, every amma of a square that constitutes the side of a square, equals amso utre humshi balachsona. When calculating the diagonal formed by side of amo, you will have 1 2/5 amo of diagonal. Kama havi lehu, what is the diagonal formed by the square with sides 8? Answer, chad sori v'chumsha, 11 1/5 amo of diagonal. Kuchin kama havu, how many vaults have we accounted for in Reb Shimon's model? They're 8, and 8 of these vaults, each one of them has an amma of width to it. So you've got 8 ammas of width that are dug in a diagonal fashion, according to the suggestion. Well, tamni bechad sori v'chumsha hechi mishkachas lo. You just can't have 8 graves dug and not cross over the diagonal of 11 and a fifth. Therefore, elaha d'Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yoshua barusahi. Therefore, his suggestion is considered just outside the realm of acceptability and is rejected. This must, one must bear in mind, of course, what we saw in the Rabbeinu Gershom, that when the whole setup is sold, the ground is sold for burial, the seller has no intention of selling ground that extends beyond that diagonal, that imagined diagonal. V'i boyesema. Another approach that will say we don't have to say ma'amik. In other words, after approach number one, approaches 2 and 3 of the Gemara are trying to take the approach that you don't have to get into varying height differences when digging the vaults in the walls. And he says that you can explain as follows, Kid'oma Rav Shisha Brei Dravidi, as he says later on in the Sukya, Ben Nifli, we'll talk about graves for miscarriages, when unfortunately a miscarriage takes place, Lo Aleinu, the deceased, the baby, must be buried according to Halacha, and one can easily understand how the spot needed for burying such a small individual is, as understood, is small. Therefore, one could bury such a small individual in very little area, and hence you could bury in the back wall diagonal and not encroach on the standard vaults that are there. Hoho nami. So too, in our issue of the two bodies that were in the to the right and left of the Pesach, we can use that explanation, benifli. So just as Rav Shisha introduces in his sugya the issue of nifli, so too in our issue of the two bodies, we can use the nifli approach, the miscarriage approach. So at this point, we've seen several suggestions, as we saw mentioned in our opening remarks to this particular sugya, different approaches to account for what would have otherwise been a problem of overcrowding and avoid the problems of grave or vault encroachment. At this point, we conclude our shiur for today.